This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Taylor Quimby, sitting in for Virginia Prescott. It's time for our monthly installment of Overheard, where the staff shares bits of lost sound available for anybody to listen to online. We taped this conversation last week while Virginia was here. Also in the studio were producers Molly Donahue, Maureen McMurray, Logan Shannon, and the newest addition to our team.
Jimmy Gutierrez has joined our creative production team and is with us. And as his hazing, we're going to ask him to come up with some sound for our Overheard segment. Jimmy, you ready to go?
I am. I just feel like what I picked out should probably come with a trigger warning. So,
way to start. Controversy. Can you give us any context or do we just have to hear it?
Okay. Through the moving process of coming out here, we inherited my in-laws' record collection. And within that, I mean, there's a lot of goodies. And I found this one record that blew me away, and it just disturbed me by the album art. I browsed the playlist in the back, and I think we can play it, and then maybe I can give context on what it is.
Okay, let's hear it.
From there. So that's little Marcy. So I found the album, and it was this little puppet, and it's a ventriloquist. It's a woman named Marcy Tigner. You know, she did Christian children's music for 3 decades. So Allie, my wife, didn't want to hear it, and what I would do is...
So you brought it to us?
I brought it to you guys, but I'll hide the album in places she can find around the apartment. So
wait, just to be clear, that's an adult ventriloquist doing a kid's voice?
Correct.
That is so scary.
Okay, now who wants to follow the devil?
My clip is kind of scary, too.
Okay, Maureen, let's have it.
Okay, so my pick is from a podcast. As you know, there's a podcast on NHPR called Outside In. Well, there's also another podcast just called Outside. It's from Outside Magazine. And they recently did their first season was all about the science of survival. And for the first episode, it was all about how to survive freezing to death. It's not a story about someone else. They actually tried to make the listener feel like he or she is freezing to death. The way that they set the story is it's a man who's on his way to a party and his Jeep spins off the road. He gets lost. And it's just this series of kind of bad decisions that just snowball and escalate into the point that hypothermia starts to set in. But yeah, let's hear it.
By the time you push off downhill, your muscles have cooled and tightened so dramatically that they no longer contract easily. And once contracted, they won't relax. You're locked into an ungainly, spread-armed, weak-kneed snowplow. Moments later, your skis catch on a buried log. The crash leaves your ankle burning in a way you know is bad. You've also lost your hat and a glove. Scratchy snow is packed down your shirt. Melt water trickles down your neck and spine, joined soon by a thin line of blood from a small cut on your head.
Boy, this guy is not catching a break.
Your heat begins to drain away, and you're becoming too weary to feel any urgency. You decide to have a short rest. An hour passes. You barely notice. At one point, a stray thought says you should start being scared. But fear is a concept that floats somewhere beyond your immediate reach, like that numb hand lying naked in the snow.
It's a really interesting use of audio. Right?
Yeah. And you really, when I was listening to it, a lot of people said that they actually had to turn it off because it was too vivid, because you feel it. You get that panicked feeling and just an incredible piece. But you also learn a lot about what happens to the brain and the body when your core temperature drops. So I really recommend that people listen to it. It's not, you know, a leisurely Sunday drive listening, but it's just an incredible series of podcasts that Outside Magazine is doing.
Kind of reminds me of that Jack London story.
It's To Build a Fire, actually.
Yeah, that's it. Remembering my high school English class days.
Okay, does anyone have anything cheery?
Sorry.
I have something kind of fun.
Okay. What do you got, Molly?
Well, so a couple weeks ago, I was trying to find music to put on the show. And I
the
really
source
wanted
of so many of our
so many things. And I wanted to use Riot Girl music. Surprisingly, there is very few options for Riot Girl instrumentals. So I didn't end up using it, but this is something I came across. It's from a band called Taco Cat. They just put out a new album, Lost Time, and this is the first song, Dana Catherine Scully. And I'm going to make all of you listen to it because I couldn't put it on the show.
There may be people who don't know who Scully is.
Scully is from The X-Files, Gillian Anderson. And she just threw her hat in for the new Lady Bond. So you should go listen to more Taco Cat.
I love it.
Logan?
Well, I could move on to something else, which, as many of you know, I am moderately to severely obsessed with Hamilton.
The historic figure or the musical?
The musical. And also sort of the historic figure by default. But so what I want to play for you guys today is a little clip from a song called Guns and Ships, which features David Diggs as Marquis de Lafayette. Now, David Diggs is a very interesting character. He is a rapper. He has his own band called Clipping. But if I we were going to play a little bit from Guns and Ships so you can sort of see what Lafayette is like in the show.
Yo, turns out we have a secret weapon, an immigrant you know and love who's unafraid to step in. He's constantly confusing, confounding the British henchmen. Everyone give it up for America's favorite fighting Frenchman. I'm taking this horse by the reins, making red coats weathered with bloodstains. And I'm never gonna stop until I make a drop, I burn them up and scatter the remains down. Watch me engaging them, escaping them, and raising them out. I go to France for more fun. I come back with more guns and ships. And so they're balanced.
Can we just say that to every word of that song, Logan has been mouthing along, so
well,
she has memorized the entire thing.
I should point out that I cannot mouth along to David Diggs in this because he actually, he holds the record now for fastest rapper on Broadway. He says 19 words in 3 seconds.
Whoa!
So this was brought up recently on Jimmy Fallon because Jimmy Fallon's a huge fan of Hamilton. He had David Diggs on, and he talked to him a little bit about being the fastest rapper on Broadway. And this was David Diggs sort of responded to that.
That's very fast. I mean, are you used to rapping that fast?
Yeah, it's, I mean, that's sort of, that's fast. It's not fast. It is absolutely fast. It's kind of, in the rap world, that's medium fast.
Really?
It's fast, but it's not the fastest. Is there a faster?
Like, is that your, could you give us a taste of faster, or?
I can rap fast.
We always have, but I'm not gonna rap. Please, no, please.
All right.
Do you need anything?
No, right?
All right, cool.
Y'all inspired. That was a Clipping song, so I'll do another Clipping song. This is from this another Clipping song called Taking Off. But ski mask on with a burner cell phone, Desert Eagle 50 cal imprint on the backbone. This one is not to be tested unless you got Smith & Wesson quick at your disposal. If not, better to head back home. This is a business. A uniform isn't unusual if you make killing a job. Money is good when it's coming from behind prison walls to someone who need to get off. Plus, about to be done 9 to 5 and there's time to be outside instead of sitting at a desk making calls. And for anyone to stay alive up in the jungle, you should figure out a way to carry no remorse at all. All day long, it is bombs over Baghdad. Right in the backyard. No service, no draft. No reason to go out, but it's no reason to stay in when the roaches are already hidden and your neighbors bumping black flag. Tired of living like this, but not ready to die because he isn't notorious yet. Everyone wants to be somebody known for doing something big called glorious, yes. So we keep it pushing through the button, all the gunning down the people that he knew and loved, just running the time and the mantra that is bumping on the walkman in the pocket, probably something that's synonymous to money on the mind. This action.
Come on, dude!
That's like no joke.
That's awesome.
So David Diggs, I'm a little obsessed with him. He's amazing. He's an amazing rapper. You got to check out Hamilton.
Wow. I was actually looking at, there was an ad, I think it was in the New Yorker for NYU, you know, sort of like, so they're selling New York University and it says, your ticket to Hamilton. Like, that's the reason to go to NYU now. Because you'll be in town and you might get a ticket
and
to Hamilton.
And you might get the lottery ticket.
Well, I have a Broadway musical related one, but it takes a little backstory.
Right? We're all ears.
Okay. So the last time we did this, Overheard, we actually recorded it on April 21st. And I remember that because we got out and we found out that Prince had died. That was a deeply moving experience for a lot of people across the world, not just for me. Prince meant a lot to me. And that night, Minnesota Public Radio was streaming all Prince songs, you know, like all of his records, and then having people call in with their memories, and they were reporting out to people who were at Paisley Park. It was like the thing that radio does best, I think, bringing everyone together who are thinking about the same thing. So I really deliberated about doing something Prince related because now it feels a little far behind us. But, you know, after Prince died, there was Bruce Springsteen did a tribute song and, you know, in concert, and LCD Sound System did one at Coachella. But this is a recording I found. This is from the Broadway cast of The Color Purple, led by Jennifer Hudson. After the show, you'll hear it. They said that they were going to do a little tribute to Prince. So let's hear.
And that means you too, as Prince would say. I know y'all know the song.
Watching you groove out to that, Taylor.
Listen, this is good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, here's the interesting thing here. That person you're hearing singing, not Jennifer Hudson. That is her co-star, Cynthia Erivo. Yeah. The thing that I found so interesting about it is then Jennifer Hudson comes in and tries to sing her ass off, you know, like she's they're in a cutting contest on some level, which I thought is so appropriate for Prince because he was a really competitive guy. If you've ever seen that video of him at, I guess it's the Rock Music Hall of Fame.
You can hear that she's withholding the tears for the purpose of the performance, but like they're right there. They're right there.
Yeah. And when everyone sings, it was a moment. It was a moment when a lot of people were captivated by the life of just one person. So it's great to remember. What'd you get, Taylor?
Well, that would have been such a nice finish with the Prince thing. I'm going to bring it back to politics, which just feels so obnoxious now. But it's actually, so the root of this is that you know, wherever you stand on the candidates and the issues, this election cycle, I think, has ground a lot of people down and just feels like it's painful, whether it's the news or just sort of the negative ads or negativity in general. I was looking for something. I don't remember what. I stumbled along an old campaign theme song for JFK in 1960. And it reminds me of a different time. And it made me wonder about these campaign songs and when we stopped doing them. So let me just play a little clip from this. And it's, you know, you'll totally get what I mean when I'm talking about it.
Kennedy! Kennedy! evidence.
Do you want a man for president who's seasoned through and through, but not so doggone seasoned that he won't try something new? A man who's old enough to know
and young enough to do.
Well, it's up to you, it's up to you,
it's strictly up to you.
But it's Kennedy, 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 Kennedy.
It sounds like a Christmas special, right?
And so
I started looking to see, like, how long did we keep doing this? And there's one for President Nixon in 1972 when he was reelected, running against George McGovern. Yep.
Reaching out to find the way to make tomorrow a brighter day.
It's sort of like a really weird Coke commercial.
Yes.
Reality.
So 70s.
Yeah.
The last one that I could find was Carter versus Ford in 1976. Carter's is very different sounding.
I heard a young man speaking out just the other day. I stopped just to listen to what he had to say. He spoke straight and simple. By that I was impressed, he said. Once and for all, why not the best? Said his name was Jimmy Carter, and he was running for president. And it laid out a plan of action. Made a lot of sense.
So very, very straightforward. But so sadly, it seems like that might have been the last race in which candidates actually had campaign songs that were specifically written. After that, you get Reagan in the famous It's Morning in America ad. Uh-huh. And I don't know. I'm hoping that someone out there is going to, like, write a 1960s Christmas song version of, you know, Clinton, Trump, Sanders theme songs. It might just bring a little levity to this race, if you know what I mean.
And it'd make America great again. I mean, there's your title.
Yeah.
Okay, Taylor, since you're our songwriter of the pod, I think we're going to commission you to write some kind of campaign song.
We'll see what we can do. But in the meantime, we should have just finished with yours, so let's bring up Little Purple Rain.
Something both parties can get behind.
Yeah, you know, it's like you're going to church suddenly.